And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Florida Edmonton take two, the rematch. Will the Panthers repeat or has McDavid's time finally arrived? Brought to you by good friends over at Skip. Welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Stanley Cup Final Preview Edition. Nick Alberga and Jay Conn. What's up, Jake?
Not too much, Nick. We took a long, winding path to get right back to where we were this time last year. Highs, lows, ups, downs, different feelings about all these teams, but we get another version of Edmonton and Florida. And like you said, this episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Yeah, there was one dude who knew we were going to get back here, Matthew Tkachuk. I guess the video is going viral of him telling McDavid we'll see you next year.
Well, Tkachuk thought they were going to be back here. Obviously, they did it, and they did it in classic Panthers fashion, just dusting aside the Carolina Hurricanes. They were nice enough to let them win at least one game this time, so thank you very much, Florida. But also McDavid and the Oilers, Nick. I think some of us doubted them throughout the course of the season, but we all saw those clips at the end of last year, how it ended for Edmonton and how upset everybody was. I think they had it on their mind. They wanted to be back here as well. So I don't know about you, but I'm fired up for this rematch and seeing McDavid get another crack at this Panthers team.
Me too, and what a journey for both teams to get back here. Even the Florida Panthers have dealt with a bunch of different things this season. Edmonton specifically, the video from last year, McDavid losing it, and they get so close. Like, they're down 3-0 in that series. They come back to game 7, then the Panthers win. I think it was only fitting, the two best teams in hockey last year clashing once again here in the Stanley Cup Final. For our On the Money segment brought to you by Bet365, we have Chris Meaney coming up. Pete Jensen's going to dive into the conversation too, but where do you want to start? For me, I've been saying this. I had my call on the podcast a month ago. I think Edmonton's winning the Stanley Cup. They're a team of destiny for me, Jake, but I think it should be a really, really good series. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes the distance again.
Yeah, well, normally when we get a rematch in pro sports, I'm like, oh, really? We got to watch the same teams again? Like, we as sports fans get a little bit tired of seeing the same teams. I don't feel that way this time around. Like, maybe if we got to version 3 or 4 of Edmonton, Florida in the next couple of years, we can have that conversation. But at least for right now, I'm so fired up to see if the Panthers can go back-to-back, to see if McDavid and Leon can get that first Stanley Cup. And credit to you, Nick. You believed in Edmonton from our very first preview show. We're going right back to the start of the regular season. But then also into the playoffs as well. I didn't see it with this roster, but I'm seeing it now, and I've seen it as the playoffs have gone on. I think the moment for me was in the second round against the Vegas Golden Knights. The way that they were playing against Vegas, and I think we can all agree Vegas was a great team. That's where it clicked for me to think, okay, Edmonton's back, and they might even be a better version than they were last year. So I'm going with the Oilers here as well, Nick. I'm jumping over to your side. I like Edmonton in this series.
Welcome, Jakey. But I think the fascination for me, where I do think both teams are a bit different, better, in fact, both squads this year, but it's a battle of depth with what I think is interesting to talk about, because you look at the two big boys in Edmonton. It's not surprising. McDavid and Draisaitl 1-2 in playoff scoring right now, 26 and 25 points respectively. But the big stat for me is that 8 players have at least 5 goals in the Edmonton Oilers, and conversely, Florida, same conversation. They spread the wealth, 8 players with at least 4 goals. But that's the big story for me. Big picture is Edmonton's getting offense, not just from those two guys.
Even Jeff Skinner found a way to score a goal.
True.
Nick, I was so happy. It was a weird goal, but I was so happy for him, you know, getting into his first playoff game, then being a health bomb for like a month and a half, and then getting a chance to get back into a game because of injury, and then finding a way to score. So that was nice for Skinner, but it goes well beyond that, obviously. And it's nice. McDavid and Draisaitl are still doing their thing, but you're getting all these players this depth scoring. And that was something Edmonton was getting last year in their cup run, but they're getting it to another level now. I think the main question I would ask you, Nick, if there is still a concern in Edmonton, it's always going to come back to the goaltending. Now, Stuart Skinner played great in the conference final against the Dallas Stars, more good than bad. At least the bad was probably that first period in game 1 where it kind of fell apart, but a lot of that was due to undisciplined play or there's taking a lot of penalties. So did you see enough good there to believe in Stuart Skinner? Because that can go away pretty fast, as we know.
Very true. I feel like I'm watching Corey Crawford. I don't know. There's just a Corey Crawford element to Stuart Skinner where it's like fly by the seat of your pants. One game he'll be incredible. The next he can't make a save. And we saw it even in the Dallas series. There's a couple weak goals. But I'm under the belief if the Oilers can get even pedestrian goaltending, I think they win this series. I think they're that good. I think the depth is there. But Pete, it's always going to be the, like, this was the same convo, Pete, we were having last year. And obviously he failed Stuart Skinner against Florida.
It's a good point. I mean, Bob didn't have great numbers in the Cup final last year, for what it's worth. And remember, that series like went completely aside from Florida in the middle part of it. Like, they lost three straight games. And those were the games where Edmonton and McDavid really just blew up the score sheet. I'm looking at the high danger areas here as being crucial. Skinner has been so good in high danger areas over his past seven games in the playoffs. 919. That's like out of this world for high danger save percentage. But the Florida Panthers are one of those teams. Remember, Zach Hyman's out for the series. It sounds like he's their high danger guy in Edmonton. Like, for Florida, they have all these different greasy goal scorers, and they're shooting about 30% from high danger areas this postseason. So like, that's where Skinner might have to swipe it away from Florida for them to have a chance to actually win this series.
And I think that leads us into a conversation about series X factors, because, I mean, there's been so many tremendous stories on both sides, and I think injuries are going to play a bit of a factor on both sides as well. But losing Hyman, that was a story for me, Jake, that the Oilers got elevation from other guys across the roster, whether it's Skinner, Evander Kane, Corey Perry. And again, looking back at last year, it just felt like it was the McDavid show, the Drysdale show, and then everybody else. But other guys are pulling their weight, Jake, and that's why I think it's going to be maybe even closer than we saw last year. And as Pete referenced, I mean, it's fair to bring up, it was 3-0 Florida. It could have easily been a sweep, and credit the Oilers for coming back. But I think the start is everything in this series, Jake.
It's the veteran Corey Perry for me, Nick, that I'm going to be watching early in the series to see what kind of effect he can have. Obviously, after the whistle, we know he's not afraid to get into that sort of stuff. Now, you don't want to do that too much with the Panthers. I think you want to find that fine line. But Corey Perry has been better at that throughout the latter part of his career. And I just saw a clip surface over the last few days as we get ready for this Cup final, and Edmonton exiting the ice after that disappointing Game 7 loss to Florida last year, and Connor McDavid waiting for each and every player to get off of the ice. Right, and he waits, and the last two players were Corey Perry and Stuart Skinner, and him and Perry had a long hug, a bit of a conversation. Who knows what they said, but you know, you had to think it was, you know, words of consolement between the two of them, and maybe saying, hey, we're going to be back here next year, let's get another crack at this. And Corey Perry's played a huge factor in getting the Oilers to this point, and I think he could come up with some big moments in this Cup final.
It is wild when you look at Perry. He is 40 years old, and to score 7 goals in 16 Stanley Cup playoff games, not to mention, what is this, his 5th Cup appearance in the last 6 seasons? And how often do we talk about fatigue and playing a lot of hockey? Does Corey Perry look like a guy who's fatigued at all? Like, it's crazy to me.
He doesn't. And if you look at his numbers from last year, I think it was 1 goal in 19 playoff games for him last year. So he wasn't much of a factor offensively. And they still found a way to get to Game 7 of the Cup final. Now they're getting it from him offensively. And I mean, I don't know when it slows down for this guy, Nick. The amount of playoff games that he's played now, it's just ridiculous. So we know he brings that experience. But when we look at experience, really both sides have it now. Florida obviously has it. You know, majority of this team is now going to their 3rd straight Stanley Cup final, at least the core group there in Florida, a couple new guys this year that you add into the fold. And Edmonton is building that Cup experience as well. So I don't think we're breaking this series down and saying one team has the edge there. A lot of these guys have been in these battles, and it really is just going to come down to the team that executes.
And Pete, the one guy we wanted to highlight and identify looking back at last year's matchup, I think it's always intricate to look at like the different details of different players. And for me, the guy who stands out is Brad Marchand. Like, what an addition this guy has been. I don't know if he's going to ultimately win the Conn Smythe if the Panthers win the Cup, but I think he's been so integral to success. And I would furthermore that statement and say, I think the third line for the Panthers could be the key to victory in this series. Do you agree?
I mean, look at all the Cup final experience that he has. Recent ones were losses with the Boston Bruins. He's definitely been revitalized this postseason, you know, coming back from injury just before the start of the playoffs and playing a key role on that third line. If he has a huge series and is a different wrinkle compared to what they had last year when they won, remember, they didn't give them the Conn Smythe winner last year. There are a slew of candidates this year. There's Barkov, Tkachuk, if he heats up. Verhaeghe is a dark horse. Bobrovsky, of course, is probably their favorite at this point in time for the Conn Smythe. But don't sleep on Brad Marchand. If he has a Monster Cup final, that would be the storyline. Like, wow, he just did this with a different team than we're accustomed to seeing, and everybody could fall in love with him again.
I think the Florida Conn Smythe conversation is fascinating. I think with Edmonton, it kind of stops and starts with McDavid and Draisaitl. But maybe when we talk to Meany in a little bit here, Nick, he can give us a dark horse. But I think it's going to be hard to see anybody outside of those two winning. But Florida, obviously, tons of great candidates. And Pete mentions Alexander Barkov. I mean, I don't need to tell anybody how great this guy is. But that's one matchup, Nick, I'm really excited to watch. Right off the hop is Barkov, seeing if he can slow down McDavid and Draisaitl. Obviously, we'll see what the coaches do with the line matching situation. But if anybody's going to slow down these guys, it probably is Barkov. He's the best suited to it, but it's a tough task for sure.
You want to talk about a series X factor? Evan Rodriguez,
E-Rod,
playing on the top line right now, finally scores a goal. Kudos to him. Playing with Barkov and Reinhart. And Pete, I think that's a big story in this series too.
Well, if you remember, I'm sure you guys do, but maybe some fans don't. Last year in the Cup final, 7 points in 7 games for E-Rod, including 4 goals, which led the entire series. So again, if you're looking for one of those, you know, goals or point leaders that's off the grid a little bit, there's Luostarinen. Sounds like he's going to be good to go after a little injury scare for Game 1. And then Evan Rodriguez, who was elevated in the lineup. He was elevated to the top line before Reinhart got injured, played there with Barkov. Then when Reinhart came back, E-Rod stuck up there. So he's staying there for this series, most likely.
Okay, so I'm writing it down right now, guys. Evan Rodriguez points on Wednesday, maybe a couple shots. I got like 3 days to make my same game parlay over at Bet365. So I got a lot of time to cook this thing up, and I'll start with some E-Rod props.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's killing the momentum, waiting and waiting for this Cup final happening on Wednesday, Game 1 in Edmonton. Do you look at it differently, Jake, because Edmonton has home ice this time around?
I don't know, and it's a great question, Nick, because home ice advantage hasn't really seemed to matter all that much.
At
like
all.
In individual games, it has played a factor, but in terms of the actual series, we've seen a lot of teams that don't have home ice advantage go out and win convincingly too. Like not even look back, just go out, win both games on the road. So I'm not factoring in too much, but I will say, and obviously Florida's got a great crowd as well, but that Edmonton crowd, I mean, it is just insane there, and it was crazy loud some of those games in the conference final against Dallas, and I do think that it played a factor, but that being said, Florida's pretty suited to go into a tough environment and find a way to win. I think they almost feed off of that energy, so I'm not factoring it in too much. It is nice, you know, maybe if you do get to that Game 7 situation to have your fans behind you, but as you know, Nick, that can sometimes breed extra pressure when you're playing in front of your home fans.
And if there's a team who's been excellent on the road, I would throw this conversation as the Panthers, man. They don't care where they're playing. Could be in Pluto, could be Japan. Like, it just doesn't matter. They just bring that consistent effort game in and game out. And I think that's why people are having a dynasty conversation right now, Jake. I just talked about it earlier on. They're looking to become the fourth team in the last 30 years to join Detroit, Pittsburgh, Tampa as repeat champions. It's really, really difficult to do, and it's very rare you get the same two teams back together. For me, it's just, it reeks of 07, 08, 09, and Pittsburgh and Detroit, the repeat where Crosby learns the first year, and year two, he figures it out. And that's why I'm riding Edmonton here, but I think obviously it's going to be a close series.
Well, you mentioned the word dynasty, and that is something that's going to come up more and more. If Florida gets up in this series and, you know, is a win or two away from another Stanley Cup, then that conversation is going to start. It already is sort of starting. I guess everybody has a different definition of that word. I mean, if you grew up watching hockey in the 70s and the 80s, you know, maybe you need to see 3 or 4 cups over a long stretch, but we got 32 teams now, Nick. It is so hard to win one Stanley Cup. Just ask most of the teams in the league right now. Some teams can't even make the playoffs, let alone win a Stanley Cup.
Shout out Buffalo.
Shout out Buffalo. Exactly. You knew who I was referencing with that one. So, some teams can barely make the playoffs over the stretch of 10, 15 years. We're talking about a team that could win back-to-back cups, go to their third straight Stanley Cup final. For me, that's dynasty. So I don't want to put the cart before the horse. They got to go out there and still get it done in this series. But if they do, I would be ready to use the D word with a capital D.
Do you think Florida's a better team this year? Like, you can make that case for Edmonton for sure. You can now see what they had in mind when they had that crazy, uncanny veteran depth last summer. But for me, the big story, too, is like Florida's blue line. You insert Seth Jones, and I know they lost a couple guys, OEL, my guy in Toronto now, and Brandon Montour now with Seattle. But I think to add a guy of the ilk of Seth Jones has been huge and massive for them, too.
I do think that they're better, to answer your question. Now, it's hard to be much better than they were last year, but I think the way that they've looked through these playoffs, Nick, I mean, they've had one blip, right? Like, they dominated Tampa. They made short work of what I thought was a really good Lightning team. They had a minor blip against the Maple Leafs. The Leafs had a chance. They're up 2-0. They were playing well in game three. I didn't think Florida was really playing all that well. And then obviously they get back into that game and they don't really look back in that series, you know, outside of a game six home loss. And then obviously they made mincemeat of the Carolina Hurricanes as well. So they haven't really had a blip. And same kind of thing for Edmonton. They've been playing pretty perfect for a couple rounds now. The only blip they had was early in that series to the LA Kings. So both teams have been very steady, very consistent. I think you can argue are better versions of the teams that we saw in the Stanley Cup final last year, which should just make for an awesome rematch between these two squads.
And I think the positive from both aspects and both teams is the rest, it can't do any harm. I mean, from the Edmonton perspective, we're looking at Zach Hyman. He is unlikely, I would say, to play here in the Stanley Cup final, if not already ruled out. And I think it drew some eyebrows a bit on Sunday when Connor McDavid left practice early. He was leading in this country, at least, on SportsCenter. It sounds like he's okay, but from the Florida perspective, I do have my questions, Jake. There's been some guys who have been banged up. Luis DeRinan, Reinhart, Mikkola, AJ Greer has been massive since being inserted against the Maple Leafs a couple of rounds ago, but I think this time of year, everybody's banged up probably.
That McDavid report felt like the classic, we have 5 days to kill between the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final. And
but led with it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, we just need a little engagement on social media, stir the pot a little bit. But, I mean, what else are we going to lead with at this point? And, if there's any McDavid story out there, it's going to lead. He's totally fine. I have no concern about McDavid whatsoever. And watching him play, I mean, that was my concern about Edmonton coming into the playoffs, Nick. The reason why I didn't really believe in them was because I was speculating, okay, is McDavid at 100%? Heck, is he Drysdale even at 100%? Well, I think it's clear watching these guys over the course of the playoffs so far, if they're not 100%, they're pretty close. And that's a big reason why Edmonton's looking the way that they're looking at the moment. So no concern there. And if you've looked through the schedule, and I know you, Nick, you have looked through the schedule, so many 2 days off between games. So these players are going to be rested. I think we're going to get the best versions of both of these teams.
And guys, the recent return of Matthias Ekholm has to be mentioned as a series X factor. I think you saw kind of as the series went on, remember the last two games, I know Evan Bouchard was held without a goal for the entire seven-game series last year. And remember, McDavid was held without a point for both games six and seven, despite winning the Conn Smythe because he blew up earlier in the series. Like, I think that those adjustments are key. And Matthias Ekholm, to me, is like the front man. Nobody talks about him in terms of like the star power on the Oilers, but like he's the glue that keeps them together. I'm actually surprised that they got this far without him for almost the entire playoffs. So I think he's going to be huge in this series.
He's so steady. And honestly, that's probably the reason why I don't even think Edmonton skips a beat, and they haven't yet without Zach Hyman. I think they're battle tested. I think they're much better defensively than they get credit for. I know McDavid's been answering the same question the last couple rounds and quite frankly getting annoyed about, can this team play defense? Obviously the goaltending's got to be there, but I think they're much better defensively than they're given credit for. And I think they're just a team that's willing and able to adapt. And you could have the same conversation about the Florida Panthers, the next man up mentality, Jake, and we've seen it throughout the season. But for me, when you look at the Cats, I talked earlier about that third line. They've been so good and so important. And I think that's why I really feel from the Florida perspective, I could see a route where Bobrovsky wins the Conn Smythe, but I do think it's wide open right now. Where in Edmonton, it's one of two guys and likely going to be Connor McDavid.
I think for Florida, it could come down to who has those big moments in the cup final, right? Is Carter Verhaeghe just going to keep scoring game-winning goals?
Yeah.
If it's him, maybe you just go Verhaeghe, right? Sam Bennett in the conversation. Barkov, if he makes some big plays. You mentioned Bobrovsky as well. So what you kind of said, I wanted to ask Meany this when we get to On the Money shortly as well. What kind of series do you think we're going to see here? Because you mentioned Edmonton, how well they're playing defensively. It's really impressed me as well. Do you think we see some tight defensive, lower scoring hockey, or do we see this thing open up a little bit? Because I think both teams are capable of playing both ways. If you want to win 5-4, Florida's proven they can do that. Edmonton's proven they could do that. If you want to win 2-1, both teams have proven that as well.
We like trends. We like stats here at NHL Fantasy on Ice. Last year's Cup Finals, 7 games, 2 unders, 5 overs. Of course, the value at 5.5. Let's get Means in here now. Want to get in the action for Stanley Cup playoffs? At Bet365, they got you from game props, player props, totals on the money line. You can even bet on futures like series winners, conference champions, and Stanley Cup champions. and much, much more. Whatever your bet is, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Download the app and get in the game. An official partner of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Are we going to get the new dad bump? Most importantly, congratulations to Means on your first kid. How are things going over there, bud?
Hey, guys. It's good to be back. Yeah, things are good. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. There's no question about that. Not a lot of sleep, but looking forward to this final. I mean, the rematch, you guys have just, you know, broke it down pretty perfectly. But happy to be back, guys. And, man, let's see if McDavid can get this done, right?
Yes, and Means, in the betting world, what constitutes like the new dad bump for Chris Meany?
Oh, well, we'll see right off the hop. Like, yeah. Game one, NHL.com/fantasy, we're going to have some picks and some props. And, you know, if we get the dad bump off the hop, maybe a couple same-game parlays there, we may just have to ride the wave. And we'll see. We'll test this thing out. But, you know, it's interesting to get this matchup, you know, both teams certainly deserving to be in the finals, right? There's no question about that. But when Florida took care of Carolina, there was some projected finals, Florida versus Edmonton, Florida versus Dallas, and the Panthers were favored in both. And then Edmonton took care of Dallas. And I guess just the way that they did at 5-5, you guys are talking about the structure of this team defensively, only gave up 4 shots in the second at 5-5 to Dallas, only 4 shots in the third at 5-5 in Dallas, you know, with the Stars facing elimination. I think Vegas is just like, all right, maybe this is closer to a pick 'em, but here we are, Jake, and the Oilers are favored.
Well, and if we get some long overtimes as well, I mean, you're already going to be up anyways, so that's perfect. You don't have to worry if we get like a quad OT or something, you're going to be awake anyway. So congrats. Glad everybody's healthy and happy. And what I asked Nick before we brought you in, high scoring, low scoring. I tend to say early in the series is where you're going to see maybe your overs and refs calling a few more penalties. And then as the series gets into 5, 6, possibly 7, we see it tighten up, play more at even strength. But what are you projecting for this series in terms of scoring? Lower, higher scoring? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be a little bit of both. And you're right, Jake. I was, you know, in the third round in the conference finals with me at the night shift with the baby, I was looking for these late night games, these double, triple overtimes. I'd love to see something like that. But I would say, you know, Nick alluded to it earlier, you know, if most lines are like 6.5 now. So, you know, if it was 6.5, the under was in 4 of 7. It really wasn't until games 4, 5, 6 where Edmonton started to get going. I mean, 4, 5, 6, and 7, the Oilers outscored the Panthers 19-7. I mean, there was one game where they put up an 8 spot there. But I think low scoring, tight. Both teams are just amazing defensively. I think both teams are improved as well. From this time last year. So I would lean with the under, but Nick, I think you said it earlier, like both teams could win any single way. I mean, we're used to Edmonton having to score 4, 5, 6 goals to win a hockey game. That's not the case. And Stuart Skinner is playing his best hockey of the season at this moment. So I would lean to the unders, but certainly there's going to be a game or two where we just see a lot of offense.
And we saw, what was that, like an 8-1 game last year where Anthony Stolarz came in. I was at that game in Edmonton. Bizarre stuff. And the number was at 5.5, I think, for the majority of that series. It has been a lot in this year's play. I even saw 4.5 or 5. Like, it's been a really bizarre playoffs from that standpoint. But I want to get your sort of thought on the pricing. You talked about it off the top. The Oilers considered the slight favorites. Is that because the money's just coming in on the Oilers, or do you think Vegas actually truly feels they're better than Florida this year?
Yeah, I think money came in early on the Edmonton Oilers, and I think maybe some people are waiting this thing out until Wednesday, and then I think we could see come closer to game one puck drop that this is closer to a pick 'em, and I think it really should be. I mean, the Oilers have the home ice, right, which is something they didn't have last year. They're 6-1 on home ice, power play operating at 55%, but Nick, you said it earlier, and we said this heading into the playoffs. It didn't matter where the Panthers played or who they played. It was just about being healthy at this time of the season. And they're 8-2 on the road, a plus 27 goal differential. The Hurricanes were perfect at home before they ran into the Panthers. They were 5-0. They lost all 3 games on home ice. And Florida's power play is operating at 43% on the road. Their PK nearly at 90%. But I think the reason, you know, money has come in on Edmonton is McDavid. First of all, the history is there too of the last three teams to get back to the finals after losing the previous season have won. The Panthers, one of those teams, the Penguins and the Oilers in 84. And if you're a big believer in learning how to lose before you learn how to win, Nick, I heard you say it with Sidney Crosby in 07, his first cup appearance against Detroit, he lost. The very next year he won against the Red Wings. How about Wayne Gretzky in 83, his first cup appearance against the Avengers, lost the very next season, won it. And you have to think that Gretzky and Messier learned a lot from that. Malkin and Crosby learned a lot from that first taste. And Drysdale and McDavid learned a lot last year. And just seeing McDavid, how emotional he was after that Game 7 loss, it's hard to imagine him losing again, with no disrespect to the Florida Panthers. So I do believe that's why the money is coming in. Learn how to lose before you learn how to win. We've seen it across multiple sports. The Eagles against the Chiefs a couple years later, the Cavs and Warriors, all those runs that they had and those rematches they had as well. So I think that's why. But Jake, I do believe, again, once we get to Game 1, I think this is closer to a pick 'em, and I think it should be. This is a coin flip series.
You mentioned McDavid after that Game 7 loss. Meaning he did leave with some hardware, not the hardware I think he was hoping for. He did get the Conn Smythe Trophy in the loss, and I wanted to get into the odds. They're fascinating. For McDavid, for Edmonton, it kind of stops and starts. I mean, right now on Bet365, McDavid is minus 110 to win the Conn Smythe. They actually boosted it up to even money if you want a piece of it there. Yeah. Leon Draisaitl, 8-1. So I think if you're going to play the Oilers angle on the Conn Smythe, Draisaitl's probably your best bet, because I don't think it should be that much of a disparity between the odds, and then Florida kind of take your pick. But are you seeing anything in the market that presents some value when it comes to the Conn Smythe right now, Means?
Yeah, not a ton. I do agree with you guys on Florida. It could be a number of guys, right? Barkov leads the team with 17 points. You know he's going to have the task of trying to slow down Connor McDavid, which he did in Game 6 and Game 7, which you guys alluded to. 0 points for McDavid in those two games and only two shots on goal. You know, Bobrovsky wasn't great in the Stanley Cup final last year. He has been good. A lot of the talk has been Stuart Skinner over the last seven games is warranted. 6-1 and 9.44 save percentage, but Bobrovsky's been better since he lost Game 2 to the Leafs. I mean, he's 6-2 with a 9.38 save percentage and a 1.51 goals against average. But I look at longer shots, like maybe Sam Bennett. He leads the playoffs in goals. He's 33-1, and he's got 16 points. He's 1 point back of Barkov. He's going to get the better matchups. Tkachuk was quiet in the first two rounds, 4 points in seven games against the Leafs. He has 7 points in five games, or he had 7 points in five games against Carolina. So that line is playing really good. You guys mentioned Carter Verhaeghe. And Nick, you brought the third line up twice, so let's bring him up three times let's as the third line. Like Marchand at 66-1. I know he would have to have a remarkable Stanley Cup final, but that line is an X factor for me. They have been phenomenal. Marchand 14 points, Lindell 12, Lucarena 13. To get 39 points through 17 games is just crazy to think about from a third line. And on the road, they have 10 goals and 32 points in 10 road games. So they are getting all of the better matchups. They're not going against the top defenders, so it is a long shot. I would say it's McDavid, Drysdale, Bobrovsky is like the three most likely candidates here, but to sprinkle something on Brad Marchand or to sprinkle something on Sam Bennett, who's had a heck of a playoff, is certainly worth your time.
Got to remember too who votes on this. I think it's the Writers Association, so that narrative and those narratives will be out there too. I don't see a pathway, maybe you guys disagree, of McDavid losing again and winning the Conn Smythe. I think this year could be a get right time for like a Sergei Bobrovsky, who, if you recall, a couple years ago against Vegas was awesome. Marchessault wins it. Last year, clearly McDavid should have won it either way. And the other thing I'll say, guys, I completely sold out on Edmonton. I have like four different tickets. I have a McDavid ticket to win the Conn Smythe. I have Drysdale. I'm not going to get my Hyman. I've got all avenues covered. The one team, Jake, I didn't bet on to win the cup or anything related was the Florida Panthers. So I'm just going to ride or die with the Oilers here, boys. But let's go around the table here, Jakey. Who do you got?
So you're the reason why so much money has come in on Edmonton,
yes,
and push this line that we were talking about. So no, I'm with you, Nick, and I've thought about this for a while, and you were on Edmonton early. Full credit to you there. It took me maybe a round and a half to believe in this Oilers team, you know, partway through that Vegas series, and then I was on them heavy against Dallas in that conference final. So I'm going to keep rolling with the Oilers. Look, I have full respect for Florida. It's an excellent team. Would I be surprised if they won back-to-back? Absolutely not. I think this is going to be a tough series. It's going at least six, in my opinion, but I'm going with the Edmonton Oilers. I think McDavid's got that look in his eye. He doesn't want another summer of disappointment in Edmonton.
We need a prop bet over at Bet365. Will Quinton Byfield's name be on the cup if the Oilers win? Because you talk about turning points in the playoffs, and I love QB, but oh my, that's going to be on repeat if the Oilers win the cup, just failing to exit the zone, get the puck out. Let's continue around the table. Pete, to you next. Means will wrap with you. Who are your cup winners? What else you got?
So I got Oilers in six. I'm going back to, it feels like ancient history. I also had the Oilers in the preseason, but yep, I jumped off that train many moons ago. But I'll go back to them. They've convinced me. They've won in many different ways. Remember all those rallies, the first six victories of the Stanley Cup playoffs for Edmonton were all come from behind victories. So even if they fall behind early in game one or two, like look at them on the live line. They could turn the tables on Florida. I think if Edmonton gets both of the first two games at home, they're going to win the series. That has to be their goal, in my opinion, with how good Florida's been on the road. So I got Oilers in six.
All right, I got Edmonton in seven. I'm going to jump on with you guys here. Yeah, and it's crazy because this series was so even last year, separated by one shot, two high-danger chances. They were even goals at 14 apiece at 5-5. It was just so even. I think there's value in plus 190 for a seven-game series. I think if you wanted to take the Oilers to win in seven at plus 425, that's interesting. Even if you wanted to sprinkle the Panthers in seven at 5-1 is pretty interesting as well. I got a couple futures I wanted to share with you guys. Maybe I'll wrap at the end, but there's something pretty cool, Jake, over at Bet365. Well, either one of you guys, Nick, Jake, Pete, you want to touch on this. They have this cool future at Bet365, the Stanley Cup handoff. Now, yes. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is favored to get the cup first at 3-1, but I think Leon Draisaitl at plus 350. I think if McDavid wins, he's going to give it to his boy, Leon, at plus 350. And then on the Florida side, Seth Jones at 7-1 to get the cup first. You know, they just won. Everybody's really already touched it. I think Schmidt is a guy that potentially could get it first too. But Seth Jones, Jake, you want to sprinkle on one of those two guys? Probably going to come out on top, just having each side of it.
I'm glad you brought up this market, Meanie. I love this. We usually break it down a little bit, you know, once a team has three wins and it's like, okay, they could win the cup tonight. Okay, who's it going to go to? So it's something to follow, especially as we get later in the series. But I like what you said about Leon. Like, why not just go Connor to Leon? It's Batman and Robin, and then go from there. You know, Corey Perry's interesting. I know he won early in his career, but veteran player, you always like to go there. So cup handoff. I love that shout, Meanie. That's a fun one.
I would just troll everybody, and if I'm Edmonton, Trent Frederick, you get it first. Yes, Boakfist for Florida. Like, people are betting on this. That's lunacy. But a straight sweep here at NHL Fantasy on Ice. Although producer Bob did text me, he's got the Florida Panthers. No, he didn't. But we're gonna say Bobby's got the Panthers. Got to give some love to the Panthers. We're talking about dynasty early on. I think Pete, we're just big believers in the Oilers. Clearly,
yeah. And when you bring up that topic, means I could see it going to Marchand right after Barkov. That's like the storyline there for me. So, and then Drysdale. That's a no brainer on the other side.
Want to get on the action for Stanley Cup playoffs at Bet365? They got you from game props, player props, totals, and the money line. You can even bet on futures like series winners, conference champions, and Stanley Cup champions, and much, much more. Whatever your bet is, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Download the app and get in the game. An official partner of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, two more sleeps. Game one. Wednesday night in Edmonton.
I can't wait. Like I said, I've got 3 days to build this same game parlay for game one. So I'll probably be taking things out, putting things in. I got Erod written down here. Maybe McDavid's got to be firing game one. So maybe throw a few McDavid shots, McDavid points, something like that. And I am going to go Leon for the Conn Smythe here, just strictly for the odds, Nick. 8-1, Leon Draisaitl. I don't think it should be that far apart between him and McDavid. So who's to say he can't step up and have, you know, 6 or 7 goals in this cup final, and that should be enough for him to win it.
Fair enough. Got to give some love to my guy, Adam Henrique. Don't sleep on him. Big game player dating back to like a decade ago. Big goals for the New Jersey Devils. Scored some big goals last year in the cup final for the Edmonton Oilers. So I'm going to play some Rico ATGs in the Stanley Cup final. And Pete, just to wrap, your final thoughts here.
Yeah, I wanted to mention also Aaron Ekblad. I feel like we've been a little heavy because we're all picking the Oilers. Yeah. In this series, but Aaron Ekblad has been a point producing machine, and you can get some good numbers on him for at least one assist. You can get him at plus 132. If you want to get a little greedy and say two assists in game one, plus 700. This is a guy that's like close to a point per game this postseason.
Gents, I'm going to write a book one day about contract years. Sam Bennett's got 10 tucks. Apparently he's going to get 10 sheets a year. Ekblad's a free agent. Something to monitor moving forward here in the cup final. We do have some time as well, so I will make sure, Jake, to check out the latest episodes of NHL Unscripted and Energy Line. We've got all avenues covered here at the NHL, don't we?
Yeah, and unfortunately, Alexander Georgiev did not read your book on contract years. You got to get that out a little earlier for the poor guy. He didn't have himself a good year.
No, my biggest series X factor is Vitek Vanacek. I think if you pulled half the league, who is Sergei Bobrovsky's backup, nobody would have a clue. They would still think it's Spencer Knight, and it's not.
Do you guys remember this start for Florida started with Alex Lyon? He started game 1, 2, and 3 against the Bruins before Bobrovsky actually took over, and it's been unbelievable since. It is crazy to think about.
Incredible. Thank you to producer Ben Cook for stepping in today. I believe producer Bob is in transit down to Edmonton. I'm sure he's fired up about that. Thank you to Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part. Get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.